Welcome back, my Creepaholic fans. I'm your host, Shanice, and this is my channel. Thanks for tuning in again. I see I have some new followers and a couple new downloads. I really appreciate it. You guys have no idea. I hope you guys have noticed I have switched my platform. I am now with Podbean. They have a lot more to offer and a lot better ways to monetize your podcast. So I was really thankful to switch. So why don't we get into what I have for you today? So this is episode 12, and we're doing the mysterious kidnapping of the Lindbergh baby. Now, I'm sure your parents have told you about this case, or maybe you've heard about it in law class, or as for me, or as for my mother was always the one who got me interested in most of my cases. She's an amazing woman who told me about it. We actually watched a documentary on it, and I don't really remember what it was called, but for our episode, we're just going to call it The Mysterious Case of the Lindbergh Baby. So, this case actually has baffled the nation. It's a very sad case. There are a few trigger warnings, so if you do have young ones around, just be prepared around the kidnapping part. There is a little bit of a sad moment going on there, so. Also too, the ransom notes that I do have are trigger warnings as well. So just gonna put that out there for future reference. So the Lindbergh baby kidnapping is a famous to the world. Still to this day. So many questions left unanswered, hearts broken, families left with answers that they still don't know to this day. But this American obsession was a true crime of the ages. The unsolved mystery had led to an entire industry of documentaries, TV networks, hit podcasts, a massive library of magazines, books about this grisly, high-profile mystery. So, who is Charles August Lindbergh? He was actually a very famous person in American history. Charles August Lindbergh, born Carl Manson, or Manson, they're Sweden. I'm sorry, I'm gonna pronounce it the way I can. If I say it wrong, email me, let me know. I would love to know if you're from there. Let me know if I'm pronouncing it wrong, because I'm pretty sure I'm going to. So anyways, he was born on January 20th, 1859, and died May 24th, 1924. However, he was also a United States Congressman from Minnesota, 16th Congressional District from 1907 to 1917. He was also opposed for an American entry into World War I, as well as the 1913 Federal Reserve Act. The Federal Reserve Act was passed by the 63rd United States Congress and signed into law by the President Woodrow. Sorry, that was my new soundboard. I didn't mean to hit that. Anyways, President Woodrow Wilson on December 23rd, 1913. The law was created for the Federal Reserve System and for the central banking system of the United States. Let's begin with where Charles August Lindbergh came from. He was born in Stockholm, Sweden. His father, Ola Manson, was a peasant and a bank manager until he was accused of bribery and embezzlement. Ola then changed his name to August Lindbergh, left his wife and seven children, and ran away with his mistress, Lovisa Karlin, who then changed her name to Louisa, and then the son they had together, Carl, then became Charles August Lindbergh. The two settled in Melrose, Minnesota, where they had six more children. August worked as a farmer and a blacksmith for 26 years before marrying Louisa in 1885, after his first wife died in 1864. Charles Lindbergh went on to study law at the University of Michigan Law School, where he graduated in 1883, where he was admitted to the bar the same year. From then on, in 1902, Charles would become an American aviator. It would be a historical moment in history on May 20th to 21st, 1927, when he would become the first solo aviator to nonstop flight across the Atlantic Ocean. There were other pilots that had crossed before him, but he was the very first pilot that did it solo. His fame became an international known event. Becoming a famous international flight, the press named him Lucky Lindy and the Lone Eagle. Now, because of this flight, it indicated that the United States to start a small network of airlines. the post office was able to establish an airmail line in 1919 from the transcontinental unit, or transcontinental route. It became a very successful route. The Americans and Europeans idolized Lindbergh now. In 1941, Lindbergh campaigned against Voltaire, American involvement in World War II. Many American citizens were against it and criticized him for his non-involvement in the war. This was before the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. Soon after the war, in late 1960s, Lindbergh spoke about the conservation of the natural resources. He served during the aviation era of wood and wire planes to supersonic jets. In 1924, Lindbergh enlisted in the United States Army Air Service so that he could train to become a service reserve pilot. He graduated in 1925 from the Army's Flight Training School at Brooke and Kelly's Field near San Antonio. Lindbergh graduated and he was hired by the Robertson Aircraft Corporation of St. Louis. He was hired to fly between St. Louis and Chicago. There he gained the reputation of a cautious and capable pilot. In 1919, there was an Ortega Prize. I know it sounds like a carnival prize, but it's not. Let me explain. So, a hotel owner in New York City, there was a man named Raymond Ortega. He was a hotel owner, and he offered $25,000 reward to run the first nonstop flight from New York to Paris. Several pilots were killed in attempts to fly this route while competing for the Ortega Prize. By 1924, no pilot had succeeded. Lindbergh believed that he was the man to complete this flight and win the $25,000. But he needed financing, so he pursued a businessman in St. Louis. He needed the money to help with the cost of the plane. Eventually, Lindbergh chose Ryan Aeronautical Company of San Diego. Ryan both designed it, and he called the plane the Spirit of St. Louis. It was on May 10th to 11th, 1927, Lindbergh would conduct a test flight from San Diego to New York City. Now, this flight would have been one overnight stop in St. Louis. The flight took 20 hours and 21 minutes. It was a new transcontinental record. So, it would be on May 20th, 1927, that Lindbergh would take off in the Spirit of St. Louis from the Roosevelt Field, New York City, at 7:52 a.m. Then, at 10:21 p.m., May 21st, Lindbergh would land at the Borgat Field, being greeted by thousands of cheering people. Like, I'm talking thousands of people clapping, cheering. You know? So there's thousands of people cheering in Paris. He had flown more than 3,600 miles, 5,790 kilometers in 33 and a half hours. The heroic flight thrilled people all over the world. He was honored with an award, celebrations, and parades. The president, Calvin Coolidge, gave Lindbergh a Congressional Medal of Honor and the Distinguished Flying Cross, a very high honor from the president. It was in 1927 that Lindbergh would publish a book about the heroic transatlantic flight, which the title retrieved to his plane. The title was the name of his plane. Lindbergh had flown throughout the United States to encourage air-mindedness on behalf of Daniel Guggenheim Fund for the Promotional of Aeronautics. This is where Lindbergh would learn about pioneer rocket research of Robert H. Goddard. Robert was a Clark University psychics professor. Lindbergh now, with the Guggenheim family support and with the Goddard's experiments, later led to missiles, satellites, and space travel. Lindbergh had also worked for several airlines as a technical advisor. Then would become the Guggenheim Tour. So before Charles left Paris, there was a man named Harry Guggenheim. He was a North Shore multimillionaire and an aviation enthusiast. He visited him at Curtis Field. Guggenheim would say, "When you get back from your flight, look me up." He would later admit he did not think Lindbergh would survive the flight. Lindbergh did not end up remembering this. Lindbergh did end up remembering this, and he ended up calling up Harry. This would start a new beginning of friendship that would end up having a massive and profound impact in, of the development of aviation in the United States. The two would decide Lindbergh would tour the United States for 3 months, paid by Harry and his father Daniel, who had early set up to encourage aviation-related research. Daniel Guggenheim found sponsored Lindbergh, or fund sponsored Lindbergh for the 3 month nationwide tour while flying the Spirit of Louis. Lindbergh touched down in 49 states. He visited 92 cities. He gave 147 speeches and he rode 1,290 mile parade. That is a lot to do for one man in a, you know, like even for me, like I go to work, I come back, I do my podcast and like, you know, that's a lot for me to do in a week. But for him, he's just, he is phenomenal. So Lindbergh was seen by literally millions of people as he flew around the country, said by Richard P. Hullin, a historian for the Air Force and the author of the book on the Guggenheim. Air mile usage exploded overnight as the result. This started the public to start viewing airplanes as a valuable means of travel. In addition to all this, this Guggenheim funds did point I don't know his name, I'm sorry, but he did point out while he was writing one of his bestsellers, which was called We. The novel was in 1927, which was all the accounts of the trip. I didn't really write that properly. I apologize, everyone. I'm very sorry. So after this, he would meet a woman named Anne Spencer Morrow. Now, before I tell you who Anne Morrow is, we need to cover how he met her. So by request of the U.S. government, Lindbergh flew to various Latinan American countries in December 1927 to establish a symbol of American goodwill. While Lindbergh was in Mexico, he met a woman by the name of Anne Spencer Morrow. She was the daughter of a man named Dwight W. Morrow, who was the American ambassador. There, Lindbergh would soon marry Anne Morrow in 1929. He taught Anne how to fly, and from there, he would take many flights and expeditions together throughout the world. They would chart routes of various airlines. Anne Morrow Lindbergh was now famous. She was also famous for her poetry and her other writings that she created. But Lindbergh's success would not stop there. Lindbergh did invent an artificial heart between 1931 and 1935. He had developed it for Alexis Carrel, a French surgeon and biologist who researched included experiments in keeping organs alive outside the body. Lindbergh's device could pump the substances necessary for life throughout the tissue of the organ. Now, here is where we get into the famous kidnapping. Now, let's begin with Charles and Anne Lindbergh's little bit of their history up before the kidnapping. I don't really want to jump into it, but I do want to let you know the ransom notes. There are a lot. There will be a lot of correspondence between a couple of people. I'm sorry if it's a lot for you. I know it's going to be a lot for everyone, but let me take you back into the kidnapping of the Lindbergh. So, with Charles and Anne now making history, not everything was going to have a happy ending. Let's start with the beginning. Charles and Anne gave birth to their son, Charles Augustus Lindbergh Jr. He was born at home of Mrs. Lindbergh's father's late ambassador. Oh, he was born at her father's estate. That's where she was born. And her father was Dwight W. Morrow, and this was in Englewood, New Jersey, on June 22nd, 1930. It was also Miss Lindbergh's 24th birthday as well. So this day was a big deal. It was a deal for two celebrations for the family. At this time in history, there was nowhere in the world that this child's birth was not known. This was such a publicly wide event and public interest as the Lindbergh baby was at the time of his birth. It was at 3 p.m. on the 22nd of June, the news would announce the birth of the baby. Weighing between 7.5 and 7.75 pounds. I don't really know what kind of measurements that is. I don't have a child, so if I said that wrong, that's what they wrote in the article, so I don't really know what that would be. So if you have a child and you do know, feel free to let me know. I would actually really like to know about that. But let's get back to the story. Anyways, blinked at the bright summer light, and the world went flashing round the world by a telegraph cable and wireless. So that's just like how they like sent everything around back then, by telegraphs and, you know, big flashing lights is how they used their cameras. You know, again, this is like back in 1930, so it's not like we had digital cameras or phones to, you know, just take out snap photos. So there were reporters waiting in the legions at the gates of the Morrow Estate for several days, and there were used motor cars that were parked at the gates just to get to the nearest telephones and telegraph offices. Radio broadcasters stepped in with their microphones, and they sent out messages all over chain stations. So strangers were at the gate, they were coming up, they were trying to get a glimpse of the precious child. It was a very big event. It was only within an hour after the child's birth that the message would begin to pour into the Morrow's estates. So thousands of phone calls, messages, you know, letters are being sent. People just want to congratulate them. They want to let them know that this is a big honor for them. So there were tons of people that would walk in for their lives, you know, all walk-ins of life, rich, poor, at this time of birth of their son. Most of the most famous young man in modern history. Strangers would come in long motor processions and drive up to the gates of the estate to offer their congratulations. The news of the baby's birth took only an hour to be widely known. A song was even broadcasted on the radio stations, sung for the birth of the Lindbergh baby. From Mexico City, where Lindbergh had married Miss Anne and won Miss Anne Morrow's heart, the telegraphs were countless. The President Ortiz Rubio sent his own personal congratulations to them. Even in a fair off France, the Lindbergh, I'm sorry, that was someone driving past my place in a sled. I don't know why they're doing it so late, but that's my town for you. Anyways, where was I here? Fair off France, the Lindbergh's name was cheered whenever mentioned. The nation had adopted the Lindbergh baby as their own. Children brought flowers, and soon the Morrow's gate looked like a shrine. Day after day, the baby's birth was published. The guards stood at the gate and had orders not to let anybody in, even children. So messages could not get past the gate, unfortunately. Only the most intimate friends of the Morrows and Lindberghs were actually allowed into the estate to meet the baby. There was even one indigenous individual that tried to give a brand new baby carriage to the Lindberghs, but when the guards phoned the house, the man was turned away because there was no carriage that was ordered, and the man was just trying to attempt to make passage into the home. It was a month, and the world was still waiting for new details of the Lindbergh baby. The world had only a few details about the famous baby. They were wanting more. In late July, the colonel, it's a term that they use, it's C-O-L-O-N-E-L, so I'm just going to say colonel because I like that better. So he and his wife were contemplating leaving the Morrow estate and fly to their new summer home in Maine and take their newborn son with them. The nation was excited about the news and waited. But when the trip was finally made, the baby was not taken with them. Mr. and Mrs. Lindbergh went by themselves. The plans changed at the last minute. So the nation was cheated of this thrill. Reading about the baby's flight, mothers thought that they shouldn't have left the baby so early. So a lot of mothers in the land watched hungrily for other details about the baby and its development. Was it to be trained as their own children were? That's how they stated it. I don't know how you would train your child. You're supposed to help your child grow, not your train your child like an animal. I disagreed with that statement. I did not like that statement. So soon, a dispatch from Washington in September 1930, the first clue was given that the baby was going to receive his first book. The book was to be The Painted Pig, a work from his grandmother, Miss Elizabeth Morrow. A month later, Mr. Lindbergh would announce that when the child would reach the appropriate age, he would be permitted to choose his own life work. There were so many gifts that were actually sent to the child when the baby was born, the Lindberghs could not find a room for all the gifts that came from all over the world. In an interview, Mr. Lindbergh said, "To acknowledge them individually was completely out of the question. To have them without a personal explanation to those who sent them would have seemed an ungracious act, while to send the gifts to others for charitable organizations might have also appeared as a sign of lack of appreciation," he said to a magazine writer who had interviewed him. It would be on October 17, 1930, that Mr. and Mrs. Lindbergh would move into their new home of Harold M. Van Horn near Princeton, New Jersey, where they would reside while waiting for their new home to be built. Their new home would be built in Hopewell. So, waiting for the new home to be built, I'm sorry, I wrote a whole bunch of little side notes, so I'm trying to go through everything. So on the child's second birthday, and Anne's 25th birthday was celebrated at the Morrow's Inglewood Estate. So how they did it was they put the day he was born as his first birthday and then his actual first birthday as his second birthday. I don't really know why they did that. Or maybe they wrote it wrong in the article. I'm not really too sure about that. That's why it confused me. So I'm sorry. So anyways, they celebrated their birthdays at the Inglewood Estate. But at the time, Charles Jr. was a chubby little fellow. He would spend much of his time in the daylight hours on the velvety, spacious lawn. Remember when the parents went on their flying tour in the Orient of last summer? The child was actually spending most of his time for part of the season at the Morrow summer home in Maine. During the months of July, August, and September, he was back at the Inglewood Estate, awaiting his parents' return. Will Rogers, after a visit to the Morrow family estate, wrote, "The Lindbergh baby is the cutest thing you ever saw, walking, talking, and disgrace the Lindbergh name by crying. Because he wants to come with Mrs. Rogers and I in the car," Will said. That's just mean of him to say. Like, he's just a baby after all, but back then, those were different times, and a lot of ways of caring for your young were very different back then. There weren't child services, there weren't protection agencies, there weren't parenting classes. It was pretty much, you did what you thought was right, you go by the laws of high society. You know, back then, it was a lot of middle class, lower class, higher class. So to them, they thought the baby should be proper, no crying, no begging, nothing, which I don't agree with. There's a lot of things I'm not going to agree with. I'm just telling everyone now. But the kidnapping is coming up. So by now you're thinking, you know, I thought this was a kidnapping. So we're about to get into it. So on the one horrific night, on the events of March 1st, 1932, at about 9 p.m., Charles Augustus Lindbergh Jr. was only 20 months at the time he was kidnapped. He was taken from the second floor nursery window of the Lindbergh's home near Hopewell, New Jersey. It was discovered at approximately 10 p.m. that Charles Jr. was kidnapped, and he was discovered that he was gone by his nurse, Betty Gow. Immediately, a search at the premises was conducted. A ransom note was discovered. The note demanded $50,000. The note was found placed in the nursery window sill. The police were alerted and came knocking at their door. Soon, a report was telephoned to the New Jersey State Police, who assumed charge of the investigation. Now, let's talk about the evidence that was found during that case. Now, I need you to keep in mind what I'm about to tell you, because later on, you're going to find out things about the case that they did not investigate at the time, which, if the police actually were doing their jobs at the time, they would have found this, and they probably would have discovered what they found sooner. I'm trying not to give you details of the story. I'm trying to keep a little bit secret, so hopefully we can get it. So, by now, Mr. Lindbergh has found out. He's horrified. He's screaming. His wife, you know, the police are at the door. It's a lot going on. So, why don't we get into a little bit of what happened during this extensive search, as they put it. Which, I'm telling you right now, it is not that big of an extensive search. I feel like the ransom note being found in the window is what stops them from actually searching properly. And it makes me so sad to know, and you guys are probably going to be pretty sad with it when I explain it to you. So now the search is on. The clock is ticking. They're looking for the baby. Everyone is distressed. So there were several clues that were found by the police at the scene of the kidnapping. Traces of mud were found on the floor of the nursery, but there were no footprints left behind. The smudges on the floor were impossible to identify or measure by the police. The footprints were found under the nursery window and under the nursery window, there was also two-section ladder found. This was used to reach the nursery window from the ground floor. One section of the ladder was split or broken where it joined together. The break indicated to the police that where it broke either during the ascent or descent. Although there was no blood or fingerprints found in the nursery or about the nursery, keep that in mind, soon the household staff of the estate would be questioned and investigated. Lindbergh Sr. soon started communicating to his friends, asking help to communicate with the kidnappers. Soon the widespread appeals for the kidnappers had started. Soon the negotiations would start as well. There were various underworld characters that would deal with the attempts in the kidnapping and contact the kidnappers. Numerous clues were advanced and exhausted. A second ransom note would be received on March 6, 1932 by Lindbergh Sr. It was postmarked Brooklyn, New York, March 4th, in which the ransom said it was increased to $70,000 for the new ransom amount. The police soon called a conference by the governor at the Trenton, New Jersey, which was attended by prosecuting officials, police authorities, and government representatives. Soon, various theories and policies of procedure were discussed about private investigators as well, were inducted into this search, and they were also employed by Lindbergh Sr.'s attorney, Henry Breckinridge. So, before I continue, I need to explain what I'm about to read. So, these are going to be the ransom notes and the conversations between everybody. And I am telling you, there's a lot. There's about 12 ransom notes. So I'm going to try and announce in between each one to let you know what I'm reading, just so that way you know where I'm at in the ransom notes and the case and how Mr. Lindbergh and who was all involved in the contact of the kidnappers. Because for how much contact they had with the kidnappers and how long it took is very baffling, but at the same time, it's not like they have the resources we do today. But if the police did do their job properly in the first place at the kidnapping scene where the baby was taken, maybe these ransom notes wouldn't exist. Maybe it wouldn't have gone on as long as it did. So, the first ransom note said, "Dear sir, have 50,000 ready, $2,500 in $20 bills, $15,000 in $10 bills, and $10,000 in $5 bills. After 2 to 4 days, we will inform you where to deliver the money. We warn you for making ending." Oh, by the way, these people cannot spell at all. And there's a reason why. They're not illiterate. They're just not from this country. So, we warn you for making any ND public or for the police. The child is in gut care. Indication for all letters are signatures and signed with 3 holes. Ransom note number 2. "Dear sir, we have warned you to note make anything public. Also notify the police now. You have to take consequences." Means we will have to hold the baby until everything is quiet. "We can note making any appointment just now. We know very well it means to us. Is it really necessary to make a world affair out of this or to get your baby back as soon as possible? To settle those affairs in a quick way will be for both. Don't be afraid about the baby keeping care of us day and night. We also will feed him according to diet. We are interested to send him back in gut health." And ransom was made August for 50,000, but now we have to take another person to it and probably have to keep the baby for a longer time as we expected. So the amount will be 70,000, 20,000 in $50 bills, 25,000 in $20 bills, 15,000 in $10 bills, or take them from one serial number. We will inform you later where to deliver the money, but we will note do so until the police is out of the case. And they spell case C-A-C-E. These people do not know how to spell or write. And papers are quiet. The kidnapping was prepared in years, so we are prepared for everything. Ransom note number 2. A lot of communication with these guys, right? "Dear sir, did you receive our letter from March 4th? We sent the mail on one off the letter near Borough Hall, Brooklyn. We know police interfere with your private mail. How can we come to any arrangements this way? In the future, we will send our letters to Mr. Breckenridge at 25 Broadway, which is Mr. Lindbergh's attorney. We believe police captured 2 letters and let not forward to you. We will not accept any go-between from your sent. We will arrange these ladders. They said ladders, not letters. There is no worry about the boy. He is very well and will be fed according to the diet. Best thank for information about it. We are interested to send your boy back in gut health. It is necessary to make a world affair out of it or to get your boy back as soon as possible. Why did you ignore our letter which we left in the room? The baby would be back long ago. You would not got any result from the police because our kidnapping was planned for a year already. But we were afraid the boy would not be strong enough for our ransom. Was made out of 50,000, but now we have to put another to it as properly have to. Hold it, baby, longer as we expected." God, these people do not know how to write. This is killing me to read, you guys. I'm sorry. So it will be 70,000, 20,000 in $50 bills, 25,000 in $25 bills, 12,000 in $10 bills, and 10,000 in $5 bills. Now see, they keep changing how they want their money, if you haven't noticed. "And we warn you again to mark any bills or take them for any SEER no," which is serial number, Many, but not before the police is out of the case and the papers are quiet. So now let's read Charles and Anne's letters. If the kidnappers of our child are unwilling to deal direct, we fully authorize Salvi, Spittle, and Irving Blitz to act as our go-betweens. Oh, Irving Blitz to act as our go-betweens. We will also follow any methods suggested by the kidnappers that we can be sure will bring the return of our child. Charles Lindbergh, Anne Lindbergh. Now that was one of the letters that was sent to the kidnappers by Dr. John Condell. Condell. I offer all I can scrap together so a loving mother may have her child, and Cole Lindbergh may know the American people are grateful for the honor bestowed upon them by his pluck. And darling, let the kidnappers know that no testimony of mine or information coming from me will be used against them. I offer 1,000, which I have saved from my salary as an addition to the suggested ransom of 50,000, when is said to have been demanded by Colin Lindbergh. I stand ready at my own expense to go anywhere alone to give the kidnappers the extra money and promise never to utter his name to any person. If this is not agreeable, then I ask the kidnappers to go to any Catholic priest and return the child unharmed, with the knowledge that any priest must hold inviolate and any statement which may be made by the kidnappers. So it means that the priest cannot say anything if they come and drop off the child for safety, same as if you go to a police station or a fire station and you drop the kid off, no questions asked. And that's if you're in a dire situation. If you can't take care of the child, there's lots of people with different situations, but this is not that situation. So this was written by Dr. John Condell, which is someone who's going to be very well known in this case. So these are the letters between the kidnappers and the people involved. So Mr. Dr. John Condell, 2974 Decatur Avenue, New York, New Jersey. I don't know why it says two, but oh, New York dot NY. Sorry, I put a J instead of a Y. That was my fault, everyone. Dear sir, if you are willing to act as go-between in the Lindbergh case, please follow strictly instructions. Handle enclosed letter personally to Mr. Lindbergh. It will explain everything. Don't tell anyone about it. As we find, we cut the press or police is notified everything are canceled and it will be a further delay. After you get the money from Mr. Lindbergh, put these three words in the New York American Time. Money is ready. After notice, not noise, God, these people can't spell. We will give you further instructions. Don't be afraid, we are not out after your 1,000. Keep it. Only act strictly. Be at home every night between 6 to 12. By this time, you will hear from us. Ransom note number 5. Dear sir, please handle enclosed letter to Cole Lindbergh case. Is Mr. Lindbergh interested not to notify the police? Note number 6. Dear sir, Mr. Condell may act as go-between. You may give him the 70,000, make one pocket. The size will be about a sketch of a freaking box. Couldn't even put a direct measure. They actually sketched a box. I can't get over that. We will have notified you already in what bills we have. We warn you not to set any trap in any way. If you or someone else will notify the police, there will be a further delay. After we have the money in hand, we will tell you where to find your boy. You may have an airplane ready. It is about 150 miles away. But before telling you upon the order, a delay of 8 hours will be between. Ransom note number 7. Mr. Condon, we trust you, but we will note come in years as it is to danger. Even you can know it. Police or secret service is watching you. Follow these instructions. Take a car and drive to the last subway. I'm just going to talk normally and just kind of like fix their words because these people cannot spell. Last subway station from the last station on the left side is an empty Frankfurt cart with a big open porch around you. You will find a note in center of the porch underneath the stove. This note will tell you where to find us. Act accordingly. After 3/4 of an hour, be on the place. Bring the money with you. Ransom note number 8, which is the one that he finds when he goes to the destination. Cross the street and follow the fence from the cemetery direction to 233 3rd Street. I will meet you. Next one. Money is ready. No cops, no secret service, no press. I come alone, like last time. Jaffe. Dear sir, our men failed to collect the money. There are no more confidential conferences. Conference. After we meeting from March 12th, those arrangements too hazardous for us. We will note allow our men to confer in a way like before. Circumstance will note allow us to make transfer like you wish. It is impossible for us. Why should we move the baby and face danger to take another person to the place is entirely out of the question. It seems you are afraid if we are the right party and if the boy is all right. Will you have our signature? It has always been the same as the first one. Specialty, them 3 holes. Now we will send you the sleeping suit from the baby's bedside. It means $3 extra expense because we have to pay for another one. Please tell Mrs. Lindbergh, note to worry the baby as well. We only have to give him more food as the diet says. You are willing to pay the $70,000, note $50,000, without seeing the baby first. Or note, let us know about that in the New York American, which is a newspaper. We can't do it other ways because we don't like to give up our safety. Please, or to move the baby if you are willing to accept this deal. Put those in paper. I accept money is ready. Our program is after 8 hours. We have the money. Received, we will notify you where to find the baby. If there is any trap, you will be responsible what follows. And then, next one, I accept. Money is ready. John, your package is delivered and is okay. Direct me. Jaffe. Inform me how I can get important letter to you. Urgent. Jaffe. That Jaffe is the code that he uses as his signature to the kidnappers, just in case you're wondering. So, ransom note number 10. Dear sir, you and Mr. Lindbergh know our program. If you don't accept, then we will wait until you agree with our deal. We know you have to come to us anyways, but why should Miss and Mr. Lindbergh suffer longer as necessary? We will not communicate with you or Mr. Lindbergh until you write so in the paper. We will tell you again, this kidnap case was prepared for a year already, so the police won't have any left to find us or the child. You only push everything farther out. Did you send the little package to Mr. Lindbergh? It contains the sleeping suit for the baby, and the baby as well. Mr. Lindbergh only wasting time with his search. Thanks, the little package you sent me was immediately delivered and accepted as real article. See my position over 50 years in business and can pay without seeing the goods. Common sense makes me trust you. Please understand my position. Jaffe. So that was from Mr. Lindbergh again. And then next note, money is ready. Furnish simple code for us to use in paper. Jaffe. Ransom note number 11. Dear sir, it is to note necessary to furnish any code. You and Mr. Lindbergh know our program very well. We will keep the child in our same place until we have the money in hand. But if our deal is not closed until the 8th of April, we will ask for $30,000 more. Also note $70,000 to 100,000, how can Mr. Lindbergh follow so many false clues? He knows we are the right party. Our signature is still there, same as in the ransom note. But if Mr. Lindbergh lying to fool around for another month, we can help it. Once he has come to us anyway, but if he keeps on waiting, we will double our amount. There is absolutely no fear about the child. It is well. I accept. Money is ready. Jaffsy. Ransom note number 12. Dear sir, have the money ready by Saturday evening. We will inform you where and how to deliver it. Have the money in one bundle. We want you to put it in a certain place. There is no fear that somebody else will take it. We watch everything closely. Please to tell us know if you are agree and ready for the action by Saturday evening. If yes, put in paper, yes, everything okay. It is a very simple delivery, but we find out very soon if there is any trap. After 8 hours, you will get the ADR from the boy. On the place, you find two ladies that are innocent. If it is too late, put in New York American for Saturday morning. Put in the New York Journal. Yes, everything okay. Jaffsy. Ransom note number 13. Sorry, there's more than 12 ransom notes. I thought there was only 12, but there's actually more. Dear sir, take a car and follow Tremont Avenue to east until you reach number 3225 Tremont Avenue. It is a nursery, Bergen Greenhouse Florist. There is a table standing outside right on the door. You find a letter underneath the table cover, covered with a stone. Read and follow instructions. Don't speak to anyone on the way. If there is a ration alarm for police car, we warn you we have the same equipment. Have the money in one bundle. We give you 3-4-7 hour to reach the place. Ransom note number 14, which is the one that they find under the stone. Cross the street and walk to the next corner and follow the Whitmore Avenue to sound. Take the money with you. Come alone and walk. I will meet you. 15. The boy is on the Boat Nelly. It is a small boat, 28 feet long. Two persons are on the boat. The innocent, you will find the boat between Hersek Beach and Gay Head near Elizabeth Island. So now, after the massive letter exchange, here's the rest of the story. On March 12th, at about 8:30, the fifth ransom note was delivered by Joseph Perrone, a taxi cab driver who said he received it by an unidentified stranger. The sixth note was received and indicated the instructions that the note was found by Condon. The note, where the doctor met an unidentified man who called himself John, at Woodland Cemetery near 233 Street, and Jerome Avenue. The payment was discussed by the man. The stranger agreed to furnish a token of the child's identity. Condon was accompanied by a bodyguard, except when he met the man, John. So during the next few days, Dr. Condon repeated his advertisement, urging further contact and starting his willingness to pay the ransom. The token given to Proven, the child's identity, was the baby sleeping bag, or sleeping suit. When the seventh ransom note was received by the doctor on March 16th, the suit was delivered to Lindbergh Sr., when which was identified. The doctor still continued his advisement. Then the eighth ransom note was received. On March 21st, the doctor, which insisted on a complete compliance and advising that the kidnapping had been planned for a year prior to the kidnapping. It wasn't until March 29th that the discovery would be made. And I'm telling you, trigger warning on what I'm about to tell you. So, remember how the nurse found out that the baby was gone? Well, once again, it was the nurse, Betty Gal. Betty had found the infant's thumb. The guard, which was warned at the time of the kidnapping near the entrance to the estate. Then the following day, the ninth ransom note was received by Condon on April 1st, 1932, instructing him to have the money ready for the following night. I wanted to take a minute and tell you what the missing poster said that was released at the time of the kidnapping. So this is what was printed on the missing paper. information as to the whereabouts of Chas. A. Lindbergh Jr. of Hopewell, NJ, son of Cole Chas A. Lindbergh, world famous aviator. This child was kidnapped from his home in Hopewell, NJ between 8 and 10 p.m. on Tuesday, March 1st, 1932. Description: age 20 months, hair blonde, curly, weight 27 to 30 pounds, eyes dark blue, height 29 inches, complexion light, deep dimple in center of chin, dressed in one piece overall night suit, address all communications to Cole H.N. Schwartzoff, Trenton, New Jersey, or Cole Chas A. Lindbergh, Hopewell, New Jersey. All communications will be treated in confidence. Cole H. Norman Schwartzoff, Superintendent, New Jersey Police, March 11, 1932, Trenton, New Jersey. The ninth ransom note demanded and threatened the ransom to increase to $100,000 and refusing a code for use in paper columns. In the newspaper columns, the tenth ransom note received by Condon was on April 1, 1932, instructing to have the money ready the following night. The 11th ransom note was received by Condon on April 2, 1932, by an unidentified cab driver who said an unknown man gave it to him. Then the 12th letter was found under the rock in front of the greenhouse at 3225 East Tremont Avenue, Bronx, New Jersey, which was instructed in the 11th letter to obtain. Then shortly after, the same night, by the following instructions of the 12th note, Condon would again meet the man who was believed to be John to reduce to $50,000. The amount was handed to John in exchange for a receipt and the 13th ransom note. The 13th note would contain the instructions to effect that the kidnapped child could be found on a boat named Nellie near Martha's Vineyard, Massachusetts. You know what I'm trying to say. I have a lisp on some words that I can't pronounce. I had a bike accident when I was young, so I apologize if I'm not saying that right. The stranger then departed and walked north into the park woods. The following day, the search was unsuccessful. The search later repeated. Dr. Condon was positive if he saw John again, he could identify him. But on March 12, 1932, a gruesome discovery would be made. The body of kidnapped Lindbergh baby would sadly be discovered accidentally. The body was partially buried. The body was badly decomposed and about 4.5 miles southeast from the Lindbergh home, 45 feet from the highway near Mount Rose, New Jersey, in Mercer County. This discovery was made by a man named William Allen, who was an assistant on a truck driven by Orville Wilson. The baby's head was crushed. There was a hole in the skull, and some of the body members were missing. The baby was positively identified and cremated at the Trenton, New Jersey on May 13, 1932. The coroner's examination had determined that the child had been dead for about 2 months, and the death was caused by a blow to the head. Now, remember what I said in the beginning? If the police did their job, they would have not gone through the ransom notes and the Lindberghs actually paying the money to the people who did this. Because if they actually searched, about 4.5 miles southeast from Lindbergh's house, so if they did a full investigation and full, scout of the property to the highway, they would have found the child. Like, I feel so bad for Mr. and Mrs. Lindbergh. The fact that their baby was there the whole entire time, dead. Like, remember when the ladder was broken underneath the nursery window? That was from an ascent or descent. Now, my theory is when they grabbed him and was descending out of the window, their poorly built ladder broke, and when they fell, he ended up dying. Like, he ended up suffering some serious injuries. And you know what these heartless bastards did? Just threw him, buried him a little bit, took his sleeping suit, and went on their merry way. Like, these people are heartless. I don't want to swear. I'm sorry. They are just heartless, and I do not like them. But we are coming up to an hour, and I do actually have a lot more to this case for you. So we're going to make this a two-parter. Now, I'm usually don't do this, so this is actually going to be my first two-parter. So I just want to say thank you for everybody listening. Thank you for all my new supporters. I appreciate all the new listeners. If you would like to, you know, help with future productions or, you know, just send some general support, you can check out my Patreon page. You can check out my Podbean URL. Just, you know what, head on to Podbean, look up Creepaholics, and you'll find all my stuff there. You can also go to Patreon, check out all my merch. I have some really cool stuff on there. So that would be at patreon.com/creepaholics. You can also check out my Facebook page, which is Creepaholics as well. Or, you know, if you just want to email me or have a chat, feel free to email me at creepaholicsvschanice@gmail.com. Or send me a message on my Facebook page. I guarantee you I will respond. Also, too, I'm going to be doing a live episode. And that's going to be after my two-parter. So my live episode is actually going to be the Great Maple Syrup Heist. So on the two-parter Lindbergh case, I will drop when that event is happening. So do know, on this live event, you will be able to call in, message me, talk to me live on air, you know, get on my recording, and let's have a chat. I'd really like to know what everyone's thinking about. Also, too, I wanted to let everybody know I am going to be starting a new segment at the beginning of all my shows, and I'm kind of working out the title for it. I'm not really too sure. I'm stuck in between Cryptoids News Alert or Daily Crimes That Don't Make Sense, which that's not really one of the options, but pretty much what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be telling you a few of the top daily most dumbest things people have done and that are crimes, and I'm going to let you know. So I actually found one that I was going to end the episode with that I thought maybe everybody would enjoy. So my main thought about this is to give you, you know, a few fun things before the episode. Some of them will be, you know, cryptoids, some will be urban legends, some will just be plain stuff that makes you scratch your head. So why don't I tell you about this one I found for you? So Donald Chip Pug texted the police a photo of himself and wrote, "Here's a better photo, that one is terrible." He told a local radio station, "Man, they just did me wrong. They put a picture out that made me look like I was a Thundercat or James Brown on the run. I can't do that." Lima Police Department responded by saying, "We thank him for being helpful, but now we would appreciate if he would come to speak with us." He was later arrested in Florida. So this man was committed a crime, sent a new photo of himself to the police, and, you know, then ended up getting caught. Like, talk about one of the dumbest criminals ever. So why don't I tell you about one more while we're at it? So this one's called Bag Man Badman. The apparently named man, Christopher Badman, from Bridgend in South Wales, used a carrier bag on his head as a disguise when he burglarized a hotel in nearby Porthcawl during its annual Elvis Presley convention. Unfortunately for him, he was captured on CCTV taking the bag off of his head and looking towards the camera. He had gone to some trouble to disguise his identity, but once the bag was off, of course, his cover was blown, said police, who ended up tracing back to him. Badman had admitted his burglary and was ordered to pay 900 yen and 100 yen surcharges. So there you go. There's a little preview of my future news alerts that I'll be doing at the beginning of my podcast. If you actually, you know, have a thought or maybe, an opinion on what I should call my new alerts, email me. Let me know what's up. I would actually love some suggestions. Anyways, thank you everybody for listening. This is Creepaholics. I'm your host, Shanice. Thanks everyone for creeping it real. Till next time, I'm your host.
Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.